Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Five Times are on tour again. Fowler, McManaman and McAteer are heading to Dublin and Belfast.
We haven't played in front of a crowd like that for a long while. Obviously, it's on the TV as well.
Yourself, son, how was pre-season Olympiacos, mate?
No, you were there.
Played up front with Suarez, didn't he, in the end?
Couldn't believe, because the kit was that tight.
Doesn't matter, I still play.
Just to quickly skip
what
over.
What do you think anyway, Jason? If you haven't really given your opinion, what do you think?
Well, I don't have to ask the questions, don't I?
Well, you can still have an opinion on what you think Liverpool are like this year. Do you think they're going to win the league and stuff?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
You think they're going to win the league?
I don't know if they're going to win the league. I think they've got a real opportunity to win it.
Well, that's what we've said.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. Is this your taxi?
They're at the Academy in Dublin on May the 8th. 24 hours later, they're at the Limelight in Belfast. Your chance to meet them, tickets selling fast. Also on May the 9th, we hold our end-of-season party in Liverpool. John Barnes, Diddy Heman and Roy Evans are your hosts on what could be an historic lead-up to the final game of the season. Ticket details online at 5times.co as the Legends Tour continues.
That's it, you see? Comedy goals you've got there.
I'll set them up.
Bang.
Hello and welcome to Five Times, the podcast of the Liverpool Former Players Association. I'm Ian St. John and I'm at the Hilton Hotel here in downtown Liverpool. It's lovely having a coffee with two of my old pals here. One being Ian Callaghan, the man who played more games than some teams together have played. Ian Callaghan played how many, Callie?
857.
857. Can you believe it?
They weren't all good ones, though.
Yeah. No, there was the odd good one.
Against me?
Also joining us today is Alan Kennedy. How many did you have, Alan?
359. Only half of what Ian.
Oh, that's amazing. You seem to be there forever.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it, when you think of that? You have a career. Well, you're in a career at another club as well, at Newcastle, but you have a career at Liverpool, you think, well, I didn't do badly there, the number of games I played, and then Cali comes in with that one. He was obviously playing when he was 15.
Well, when I first started my career, he was having a testimonial.
I should have had two testimonials.
I know.
Yeah. I was going to say, did you deserve one? The testimonials, just touching on that, was the thing that was written in your contract in those days. Because, I mean, the wages were so poor that they put that in your contract as a little inducement. So if you did 10 years, you had to do 10 years.
Yeah.
And if you did 10 years, then you were due for a testimonial if they would grant you it. This is the directors. If you fell out of them, obviously, you didn't get one. But if you'd done 10 years, you got one. I got one. After doing the 10 years.
I got one, and the night I had mine, there was a bus strike on. it's the truth. There was a bus strike. I think it got 28,000 people.
Yeah.
Which is terrific, really, considering there was no
buses. Everybody's walking to the game.
I mean, I just, you know, all them games, I've been unlucky, really, because, I mean, the only hat trick he ever scored at Liverpool. It was electric strike, and they played it in the afternoon. And I've got a wonderful photograph at home of me taking the corner in the Anfield Road end, and it's like a shot of the background and the stands and everything else. And there's four kids in Worcester South School just looking at me take a corner. Nobody there. That's the only hat trick I ever scored.
First team game. I got a test. Well, I got my testimonial. Shanks was in funny mood in those days, and he says, "You've got to be retired before you get it." I said, "When did that come in? You've got to be retired." And I said, "I've done the 10 years, but I'd moved on. I'd gone to South Africa.
So I'd been away, and about 5 years later, I got testimonial. People were going, "Who is it?"
But didn't everybody get a testimonial in those days? You know, at Liverpool especially, because everybody stayed like a minimum,
minimum of ten years.
If you look at Ray Clements and you
Roger, Ronnie, Jerry Byrne, Tommy Smith.
I'm
saying it was an inducement, and you're caught because the wages are weren't good. You know, when you think about it. And we had no pensions.
Smitty got his. Smitty got after the 77 winning the European Cup for the first time. You know, I mean, win the European Cup and he's getting his testimonial.
That was like winning the pools, wasn't it, for Smitty?
Yeah.
So much for you've got to be retired.
Yeah.
He had it right after
winning
the European Cup for the first time.
Yeah.
And got, the crowd wanted to see the European Cup.
Absolutely.
At Anfield. Yeah. So, didn't matter if it was Tommy Smith or Mickey Mouse playing. They wanted to be
there.
But although Tommy deserved it anyway, but
absolutely.
Actually, the first testimonial I was Ronnie Moran. I think I went to because Tommy Finney played.
I played in that.
Did you play in that game?
Tommy Finney.
Tommy Finney had been retired, and Tommy was playing outside. Right? Do you remember against Ronnie Moran?
Yes.
And he was still terrific, wasn't he, Tommy Finney? Dribbling with his left foot on the right wing. Unbelievable.
Fantastic, wasn't it?
Did Stanley Matthews not play in a testimonial at Anfield?
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I think Stanley Matthews. In my game that I had, Chelsea played. I played Chelsea because Dave Sexton, the manager of Chelsea, was a friend of mine that got to know over the years. And he said, "I'll bring Chelsea up, you know, with Osgood and,
Charlie Cook.
Sean Harris, all these
Peter Benetti and all that. Yeah, they were
great. Johnny Rollins. Smashing team.
Yeah.
Very good team. So that was mine. Great. So there you are. Anyway, that's testimonials for you. There's no more now, is there? I mean, I'll tell you something. I mean, Stephen will get one.
Yeah.
Jamie Carragher.
Obviously give the money to charity.
Absolutely.
These days. Yeah.
The foundation, his foundation is like for local people, which was a great
Stevie
idea.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now let's turn to last night's game, boys. We're in the running, which is wonderful. We talked about this on the podcast some weeks ago. Did we think we could be there? And I think we were all pretty optimistic saying, you know, the lads are playing well enough. Depends what the others do, but we, as our manager said, we're in the discussion at the end of the season.
Yeah.
We're in there. We're in the argument now at the end of the season. And last night was a game that I think most fans would be biting their nails because when it went to 2-1 and then they hit the bar, I thought, well, here it goes. You know, we're going to drop 2 points.
Yeah.
I think when it was 2-1, you're always conscious that that Sunderland were going to sort of get back in the game somehow or other, and you know they could have scored from a free kick or whatever, you know, and then that's only a point. Yeah. So, you know, at the end of the game, I thought, well, I'm pleased to have got through that.
Ian, you're going to get games where you're not going to dominate. You're not going to dominate for 90 minutes, and that's exactly what it was. It's grinding out results, to be fair. And I think that's exactly what they did last night.
What they're doing now is grinding results out.
Yeah.
You know, where they're not playing really well.
Yeah.
But they have been playing terrific.
Yeah.
They really are. But they got the result last night, yeah.
I mean, you know, the way they played, Sunderland had a good game plan. I remember looking at it. I was with you last night, Ian, you know, in the centenary, and you get a bigger picture of what the game was, and they had two like banks of four players, you know, and that's exactly, they worked so hard, Sunderland, they knew they could get a result if they worked hard, and exactly what they did. But you know, 2-1, you're right, you're thinking, well, should we try and get a third, or do we hang on, like, you know? And listen, I'm just grateful that we got a result.
Exactly.
I really am. You know, and it keeps you in there. You know what it's like at the end of the season.
You're not
going to
dominate every game. Yeah. You're not really. You're going to get a game where it's going to be a little bit iffy.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd be just pleased that they came through and got the 3 points.
They've had a great spell, haven't they, Ian? They've had a great spell.
You know, dominated, haven't
you? You go to away games, you think, will they get anything out of it? Like, you know, and they really have. They've shown what a good team they are.
Yeah.
You know, Martin Skrtel's playing
Playing terrific, isn't he?
Terrific, yeah. Absolutely terrific.
Like this season, you know, I mean, it's been terrific to watch.
Yeah,
the football has been great. It has. Apart from the results, you know, they've been getting the results. But I think the football's been terrific to watch.
Best I've seen.
Yeah.
It's the best I've seen for a long time. You know, people like John Flanagan, who've come into the team.
Yes.
He has done absolutely
fantastic.
Nothing wrong.
Yeah,
his defensive qualities have been excellent. Yeah. You know, he supports. You know, he's not flamboyant or anything like that. He lets other players go.
Does a job.
Yeah, he really does a great job. People like that, you know. But rather than single out one person, the whole team, for me, has played really, really well. You know, they've all gelled together. They've all done their job. You know, my heart is in my mouth sometimes, I have to say, when they're playing at the back. But, like, they're prepared to do it. The confidence is there, you know. So
I think we've talked about this through the season, about when we are playing the ball around at the back.
Yeah.
Right, and we're not doing it as much as we used to do. But, I mean, at one time we were doing it every game and, you know, it was costing us the occasional goal.
Yes.
But last night, we looked very nervous doing it, and our goalkeeper looked very nervous doing it. And I thought, lads, don't pass it back now. Just, you know, get it up there and keep it away from them.
Yep.
There's times and places to do things. When it's going for you, fine. Everybody's, give us a ball. Yep. Last night it was, don't give us the ball.
Yeah.
And I thought we got a bit edgy when we had the ball in our last third. But the goals last night, boys, again, were magnificent.
Yeah. You see, Stevie always steps up to the mark. You know, he wants that free kick. He knew what he was going to do. Okay, the goalkeeper might have done a bit better.
Yeah.
But even so, you hit the target.
I wasn't too sure whether Suarez was going to take it at one stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he had took free kicks before that.
Yeah.
A couple, I think, and he put him over the bar.
Yeah.
But Stevie, I
remember at Hull this season, we didn't play well at Hull, but we got a free kick, and then the goalkeeper's weighing up, Suarez is over it, and then all of a sudden, Gerrard just took the free kick. And he scored from it. And, like, for me, that was the same last night. I think the goalkeeper's thinking, Suarez, he likes to curl it round there. And Suarez took every other free kick after that because he thought he could do it, like, you know. But Stevie, again, the measure.
Well, there's no better kicking of a ball than Stevie, really, you know.
But, you know, it's a great strike, you know, and, you know, they'll be disappointed. They could have done better.
How do you think the goalkeeper was really to blame? A lot of pace in the ball, and
he's come up rather than with his sort of like his left hand.
Yeah, he
he's brought his right arm over, and then he's slightly lost it, and you know he's flipped out. But even so,
great strike.
Yeah.
Now Sturridge's goal, you could see it coming.
Yeah,
because we know Sturridge's game now, and although he had a quiet game, but you know his game when he gets around the box. He's got the ball at his feet. When he turned it onto his left, you just knew it was top corner.
Absolutely. And it took the deflection, took a slight
take a little bit of deflection.
But it was going, that's where he was going in.
That's what he's brilliant at. He is brilliant at doing things like that. He's great because he has quick feet, he moves the ball, and he moves it to the left, shoot, bang, goal. That's what you want. You know, so as a defender, you can't defend against it because you back off, you think he's not going to score from there. You know, but he did, and it you know, gives Liverpool, you know, momentum to go forward. Yeah. You know,
wonderful. Now, our man Suarez never scored last night, but a lot of people might not know football talk and maybe understand it is when you say, I think he tried too hard last night.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was trying too hard. He was trying to do too much on his own.
I think he was trying to
win the game on his own.
That's right. Yeah, if he went past one, maybe he could have passed it. But
he wanted
to go past another one.
Yes,
and he was getting caught with the ball. And as you say, you know, I mean, he's such a fantastic player. I agree with you.
Yeah, but I think what happens, Ian, he has a good record against Sunderland. He's actually scored 7 goals against Sunderland themselves, so he's probably thinking, I can score any time if I want to. That's what your mentality is. I'll go past him, I'll do this, I'll do that. So you start doing things you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
I felt as though sometimes the play last night was a bit, you know, well, you know, just pass the ball, just give it and move it, and then do something, you know, like just nice and easy rather than do it the individual, you know. But again, we talk about the individual.
That's the way he is, yeah. isn't it? You know, yeah. I mean, he still did things last night where he put through, you know, people's legs, and oh my God, you know, and he gets in positions where you think, how did he get there? You know. He's on the byline. He comes along the byline, puts it
up. But we were brought up with this mantra of, you know, don't try to win it yourself. Yeah. You know, you're in a team.
Yeah.
You know, share it around. Other guys are there to help you. You help them. And last night, had he done that last night, which he normally does, I think, brings other people in the game, we would have had another couple of goals. Yeah. I think there were people in good positions. But he only had the goal in sight, and he's wriggling and wriggling, and you know, and trying to work himself a goal. Yeah. And it was one where you felt like saying, Lewis, hey, don't try win it yourself, son.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other people will win it for you.
Apart from all the goals he scored, I mean, the assists this season as well.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable the amount of assists, you know. As you say, I think he was trying maybe too hard.
And just to mention Coutinho, I thought he was excellent last night. I thought he really, you know, did well from the midfield. He closed play down. He did everything. You know, his passing was good. It was incisive. Went past a couple of players, a little bit of speed there. I thought excellent play as well, like, you know, but again, I thought Sunderland were quite hard to break down.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought they were organised, man.
Yeah, very organised, and, you know.
Coming, they knew it was going to be a tough game, and they organised themselves, So you've got to. Really,
they played better than I thought they would play.
Yeah.
The position belies the ability that I think was there last night.
I saw them in the Capital One Cup final against Man City, and up to a point they were holding their own.
They didn't do bad.
Manchester City, and then Man City come up with two fantastic goals. And took the game away from Sunderland. They ran out of steam, but to be fair to them last night, they were all right again. But they're in the bottom three. Sunderland, you know, they've got, you know, there's like six or seven teams, isn't there?
Play like that, they'll get out of it.
Yeah, yes, I agree.
They'll get out of it. That was too good.
Yeah.
And it shows you there's ability there, and they've got, you know, a work ethic. Yeah. Obviously, the new manager, they like him. You know, well, after the last one, De Canio, kidding me, I mean, you know, anybody could have walked in there and been acceptable to the players and him, but they're digging in now, and they're going to.
Yeah.
You watch the results between
should
now
be okay. should be
and
okay.
the end of the season. Now, last night it was mentioned on the telly. I got a mention last night with Sir Roger.
Oh.
With Roger Hunt, yes. The last people to score 50 goals between them, the strikers.
Was
over 20 goals, each.
Was
going way back to that, going way back 50 years ago. The year we won the league, would you believe? So. 1963-64
we
won the league, and Roger and I, between us, Roger mainly, but no, but between us, we got over 50 goals, and these two lads, the SAS, have done it this year. That's 50 years taken, and when you think of the great strikers that we've had over the years, you know, the Rushes and the Fowlers and the Owens and all them.
When you think of strikers, though, Ian, sometimes you think of partnerships.
Right.
You know, I mean, probably it was you and Roger,
Keegan and
Toshak. There was Dalglish and Rush, and now, you know, you've got Suarez and Sturridge.
Yeah.
So really, over all them years, you know, that's four partnerships, which are, you know, has been terrific, absolutely terrific. So, you know, there is a difference between individual sort of goal scorers and partnerships. You know, they seem to gel off one another.
Brendan Rodgers has gone on record of saying that he doesn't see them as a partnership.
Sees them as individuals.
I'd see them as a partnership because they lay on goals for each other.
Exactly.
So well, that's a partnership, isn't it? I don't know what
he's trying to say, Brendan, on that. He assists, you know, each other. Give each other. So
tap-ins and everything.
That's a partnership. Yeah. Yeah.
I think we saw at Cardiff last week how good we should call it a partnership because it is for me. You know, the two of them were up there together, and they were like telepathic. You know what Keegan was like.
Well, him and Tosh, they used to say that they were telepathic. Right. I mean, they were doing things behind the back, and they, God, they could see.
That's right.
See what they did a thing for television. We did a thing for the sat back to back, and they would hold a card up. And you know, footballers being footballers, Keegan said he could look at, he could see the camera. And he could see the card. He had his back to it, but he could see the reflection. And so he would pretend, well, let me think about this. And I'd hear, the seven of diamonds, correct. And so it was, the whole country's watching us thinking,
telepathic.
And Kevin didn't tell anybody, but he's told us, like, he says, I'm watching it through. I can see the cards, you know. But they were a great partnership, and they followed on from Roger and myself. But I'm like you. I think these two are a partnership, and I don't think the manager should think that they're not. And I don't know why he's not saying they're a partnership, because they are.
But Suarez is an individual player. He could probably play in just about any team, couldn't he? Because he knows what to do. He knows where people are. He knows how to score goals. He knows how to lay on goals. Yeah. You know, but his individual skill. We talked about that last night. Yeah. He was trying too hard, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was trying too hard all the time. But I have to say, that to score 50 goals in any season in today's is fantastic. You know, they're wonderful. And you must think of, like, the Sunderland's defence. They're probably thinking, oh my God, we've got Sturridge coming in on the left hand side. We know he's good at doing this. Suarez is one of those who will do anything. We don't know what Suarez, we don't know how he's going to sort of, like, do things, but he does it. He does it so well.
I'll tell you who I was impressed with last night. Little Coutinho.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, he was fantastic. A few weeks ago, he needed a rest.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it, I think, on this podcast.
Yeah.
We said, he just had faded because he's only a young boy.
He needed
a bit of a rest from what he'd been doing.
Yeah.
And so he got the rest. He's come back, and last night, I thought he was brilliant.
Yes. And he's keeping Raheem Sterling out, and Raheem's having a good time as well.
He said a wee rest and come back.
That's right. So it's working well. It really is working well, and Joe Allen's come back into it as well. So there's a big, there's a bit of a balance there, isn't it? Because Joe's forcing the play, he's going forward, he breaks play up. Jordan Henderson's looking good, he's on the ball all the time, making runs. Work so hard, and Stephen's just pulling the strings.
Yes, wonderful.
It's good at the moment. Good first 11, and then you look at what we might have on the bench.
But
it's a good first 11.
On the bench is Lucas, who unfortunately had an injury and lost his place. Now the way I look at it, he can't get back in the team while others are playing the way they're playing.
Absolutely.
So for Lucas, it's a case of knuckling down and train hard, get as fit as you can do.
Yeah.
And
well, you don't again, as we all know, you don't know what happens in football from week to week. So you've got to train hard and be fit when you're called upon.
Ready for it. I don't think, not being disparaging on Lucas, but I don't think the team are missing them. You know, it's not like if Stephen was out, you go, we're missing Stephen Gerrard, let's get him back.
Yeah.
The team are functioning very, very well without Lucas.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And
I think Stephen is absolutely pivotal to Liverpool winning the league, because he's so commanding in there. You know, he's a big presence in that midfield. He's 6 foot plus.
He sees things.
Of course
so
he does.
Oh.
Even from the back.
And he just does it. You know?
And he can deliver the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, what a fantastic kick of the ball.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, as you say, Stevie is playing absolutely magnificent.
Yeah.
He really is.
Do you know who reminds me of, Carly? Johnny Haynes.
Oh.
And now, Johnny Haynes was England captain way back in the 50s, 60s.
The first player in to earn £100 a week.
He was?
Who was the chairman?
The chairman of Fulham was a show business guy, comedian.
Yeah. Tommy Trinder.
Tommy Trinder. Yeah. Well done, Cal. Tommy Trinder gave him when the wages blew from 20 quid a week to 25 quid a week. He said, I'm giving him, because he was England captain, and he gave him £100 a week, and the
which was football was unheard of. The Brill Cream Boy, Johnny Haynes.
I bet all the chairmen of football clubs were going, "Oh no,
what have you done?
What have you done?"
Yeah. We were happy with 20 quid.
But Tommy Trinder was a comedian anyway.
Didn't get many allowance for that. But Stephen can do what Haynes could do, and Haynes could do what Stephen can do, and switch your play from right to left, left to right, open the game up, which we weren't doing before Stephen got this position, this role he's playing.
Deeper position.
We were playing possession, but 10 yards, 20 yards, this kind of thing. Now this game has now opened up. And then the pace that we're backing up the pass with, when Stephen's hitting a crossfield ball, Tommy Smith used to try it, it never ever happened for him. But Stephen hits one, say, right to the left. Everybody then starts surging forward to be back up when the ball's coming in and support the ball. And, you know, it's brilliant, and it's just because of one man has changed the whole way that the team were playing. Because up to that point, yes, we were keeping possession. Yes, you know, we're winning games and that, but there wasn't something there that you could look at and go, this is making us different. I think Stephen Gerrard in that position is making us different.
I entirely agree with you. I think he's you know, playing deeper, and it suits him. I think it really does. I mean, as I just keep saying, I mean, what a distributor of the ball.
I don't know whether you notice sometimes, particularly in the second half, when Sunderland got back into the game at 2-1, Stephen was talking to just about everybody on the pitch, and he was asking for a bit more. You know, we're 2-1 and we're just under the cosh a little bit, but he was asking all the players, the Coutinhos of the world, the Joe Allens, the Sturridges and Suarez, hey, just give us a little bit more. And it was, I thought,
what Stephen's been to Liverpool Football Club is just unbelievable, really. You know, and I read a little piece in the paper, it was a couple of weeks ago, saying he's probably the best player, which I think he is, who's never won a Premiership medal.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it'd be fantastic for the player who's given Liverpool unbelievable service, you know, that he won a Premiership.
I know. It would be, you'd say scandalous, but it's it's no Stephen's fault.
Oh, God, no.
No, not his fault. No, I mean, if anybody deserves it, it'd be
fantastic. We achieved it.
And Carly, when you think 50 years from we won the First Division, as it was then, having been in the doldrums in the second division for the club we're in for years, and then come back to win it 50 years ago, you know, the signs are all there. You don't want to talk too much about it.
No.
But you are right. You are right. Records have been broken. I mean, Liverpool is just scoring goals, not for fun, but like they're scoring at a rate that I've never seen before.
Right.
You know, and the record books say, like, you know, can Liverpool do it? Hey, you've got to win every game. You've got to win every game to the end of the season. Okay, Man City might just have the edge if they win all their games, but, you know.
But we play them, so they can't, you know, we can win our game. Yeah. That means that they don't win one of theirs.
Yeah.
But so
it's been a fantastic effort, a great effort. Because I thought at Christmas, at Christmas we were top of the league. In the new year, we were fifth. That was the thing. Yeah. We had two games over Manchester City and Chelsea. We got beat. Mm-hmm. So we went from first to fifth. And then all of a sudden, like, they've galvanised themselves. They put a run together. And you know, great. Brilliant. You know, I think one of the top three will slip up. And I don't think it will be Liverpool.
Right.
I really don't think it. I think they've got a great chance. Last game of the season.
Newcastle.
It's the old cliche, isn't it? You know, I mean, we keep saying you've got to take each game. And each game is a cup.
Yes,
you are. And it is an.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cliche, but it's right, isn't
absolutely.
It? You've just got to look absolutely at each game and
no injuries, don't any injuries,
no.
And the team picks itself.
That's kind of
the team, which is great.
That's the point of this, the way things are going at the moment. And we've all played in teams that, you know, when Shanks through the 60s with us, Cali, when on a Friday the press would say, "Now, what's the team for tomorrow, Bill?" And they say, "Same as last season." Yeah. And that was it. Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. we're the same. And because what that gives you, it gives you the continuity, the togetherness, that the same lads are playing week in, week out.
Yeah.
Not new ones coming in, two or three in and out, and two or three coming in. The same lads. And this team are doing that at the moment, touching wood.
Yeah.
Let's hope that there's no injuries, as Cali says, and the same lads are able to troop out and get finished the
running. Confidence as well, Ian. You know, we've played the game, and when your confidence is high, well, you do things on the football pitch that you don't do when the confidence is low.
No. Yeah.
So you know, it's.
Can I just?
It's great.
Yeah.
Can I just mention the bane of my life, referees? The guy last night, the referee last night, don't know his name. I'm not interested in his name. With all referees, I'm not interested in the name. This man had it in his mind, and he was a referee who refereed when Chelsea game. He was a referee that day.
Right.
Now, last night, I thought he was determined that he was not going to give Suarez one little thing, one foul. Suarez was fouled, I would have thought, half a dozen times. Yeah. Everybody was thought, well, that's a foul. That's a foul. And he never gave him one.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's been vindictive referee. You know, because you don't like Suarez, doesn't mean to say you don't give him a foul when it is a foul.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you not agree on that last night?
I think he was quite lenient in terms of, like, in certain things. I think there was an incident in the second half when Suarez was going through. I think he was brought down by the player. And it could have been a red card. It could have been, you know. But, Ian, I mean, at the game last night, was he the last man and whatever, like, you know. I felt as though that sometimes Suarez doesn't help himself. Sometimes.
But,
you know, genuinely, you know, if he's touched, he will go down, you know. And he's only playing to the rules of the game, you know. So.
Well, I just thought the referee last night had it. His mind made up that Suarez was not going to get a foul out of him.
Yeah.
Because I don't know whether he's frightened in case he gets conned, you know, he falls down and pretends he was fouled and the referee gives it. And I don't know about that. I just know that Suarez didn't get last night the fouls that I thought he should have got. That was just my interpretation.
Yeah.
Now it takes the refereeing thing takes us on to the one at the weekend where Chamberlain dives and tips the ball around, and it was never going in anyway.
No.
Now the referee again was couldn't get a better position.
Yeah.
To see it.
Yes.
Now you should have seen that the ball was going wide anyway, which meant that, you know, it's not a sending off.
Yeah.
It's a foul. It's a penalty kick, and that is a yellow card.
Yeah.
Now he got all that wrong. Now what? I thought these lads with the flags were supposed to be referee assistants.
Yes.
Assistant meaning I'll assist you, referee.
Yes.
Now, why didn't he not, the one that's at that end looking across at everything? Because it was a set piece and he's there. It's not as if they've ran away 50 yards from a halfway line.
Yeah.
You know, he's there standing looking across at everything. Why did he not wave his flag to attract the referee's attention, go onto the pitch and say, "Excuse me, ref, you got it wrong there. You know, you've got the wrong man here."
Yeah.
Why didn't he do that?
That's paid for. You know, there used to be linesmen. Now they're assistants.
Yeah.
So you would think they can do that.
Yeah.
But
Ian, what about the assistant referee? Okay, who was on the sidelines?
Yes.
Just supposing he had a television monitor.
No,
can he, you know, do we look at this and say, well, does he make the decision? for the referee. The referee hasn't seen it. I don't think actually he saw that, you know. What might have been a handball, and he saw the player just move his arm out there, but he couldn't tell. And I don't think he got any help from his assistant.
Well, that's what we're saying.
Yeah,
there was no help from his assistant. The assistant must have seen it.
Yeah.
You know,
I think TV reviews, as in every sport, has to come in, because it's come into every sport, and we see it and we go, well, that's cleared it up. I thought the guy was not out in cricket, or the ball was over the line in tennis, you know, and you go, well, and then rugby. Was it over the line? Did he touch down?
Well, that's
whatever.
Brought
it in now, haven't they? You know, on the goal line.
Well, they're bringing it in, So they're bringing it in. So that is the number one thing. Did the ball cross the line? Was it a goal? Was it not a goal? Well, that should clear all that up for once and for all. Now, you get to the other decisions, like that one there. Surely if the referee, this other official, sitting with his monitor, which is in the... in the future, he'll be sitting with his monitor and he'll be able to replay the incident. Oh, well, that was Chamberlain that did that, and the ball was going wide, so the referee, and he'd say to the referee, ball was going wide, only a booking, you know, and it was Chamberlain. So he would relay that message, and all it would take was the referee to go, as they do in rugby, let's have a look. You know, they do the old television thing, let's have a look. And have the look, a minute, whatever. Information comes back. We're dead on with the decision. It's correct. What that guy did. I mean, that's scandalous. Really sending off the wrong player.
Well, I mean,
player said, "Referee, it's me."
I know.
You know, hey, don't try to kid me. You know, imagine that, the referee not taking the word of a player who says, "Look, don't send my mate off. He's innocent.
Yeah,
it was me."
Yeah.
No, you can't kid me. I know, the whole thing goes into farce then, isn't it?
Well, they put it right this week. They rescinded, haven't they? But having said that, it could have been done on, you know, there and then.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And the lad that got sent off, just say he had been the striker out back helping out at the free kick. You're minus your scorer.
Yeah.
Or you're minus a top midfield player or something, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you're the wrong guy's off.
I
just found it was
so bizarre. Well, it could be crucial, you know, really, when you think to some teams, you know, you sent the wrong player off. And as you say, it could be, you know, the most prolific goal scorer, and he's off the field, and he shouldn't have been.
It's taken a long time to get goal line technology.
It has, Alan. They're reluctant to change, aren't they? That's the thing.
You know,
the rules of football.
You know when I think England played Germany and Frank Lampard's shot
over the line.
And I think they've looked at it and gone, well, it did cross the line. And there's been other incidents, don't get me wrong. I'm not highlighting England, you know. No, I'm saying Ian St. John. You know, I'm not highlighting England, you know. But
that
ball had crossed the line, you see, and that would have given,
well
over the line. Like, you know. But maybe they'll move on. Maybe next year they might look at it and go, well, what's going to happen in the World Cup if the ball crosses the line, or there's an incident in the World Cup? That's the biggest competition in the world, you know. It will come in, I'm sure.
But are we waiting for FIFA to are we waiting for FIFA to actually make rules that are sensible? Going and play the World Cup in the middle of the desert, you know, everybody's getting fried in the heat of Qatar. Did you ever look at the cameras? Surely they must pull the plugs on that one and not go and play in Qatar in the summer. And then they're saying, wait a minute, we might even change it to winter. So in the middle of our season and all the European club seasons, everybody's going to go away and play the World Cup. But does it make sense? Where the sensible thing would be, hey, we're not going to go to the desert in the first place.
Yeah.
But somebody has had a a holiday out there and then really enjoyed themselves. And they've made that decision just because they've got pals there.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I'm saying. And you know they have got money. They've got, I bet you don't know this,
what's that?
FIFA have got 1.4 billion.
Get away.
Billion.
Where do you get these facts from?
Well, I got a phone call from Zurich this morning.
Sepp.
I wonder if Sepp.
Yeah. 1.4 billion.
Yeah, and he said some of it is not his.
So where does that money go to? Does that go? The money go to
runs the game, as it were.
Runs the game. Okay.
The worldwide game.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Grassroots football.
So people get jobs on the back of that 1.4 billion, do they?
Okay. They have the. I'm looking for one.
We
of
won't see
jobs.
That. We won't see that.
Listen, they have the best jobs in the world. Yeah. They go around having meetings, and they don't have meetings. Yeah. In some place in the middle of winter where it's snowing and freezing, and everything, they have some lovely holidays in the sunshine. And they get, and Sepp, and they go on.
Is that why they always look brown?
They're always looking brown.
In the sun.
they sail around the Caribbean in these big yachts and are having meetings. Right. Things, you know. But I just think the way football is run, and Platini, who I thought was a great player, had a lot of time for Platini as a player.
Yeah.
And he's now got a job with the European side of it.
Well.
And he's making all the worst decisions ever. So I'm very disappointed in him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a lot of money. It needs to be distributed in the right way. But going back to what you're saying about Qatar, having the World Cup there, and was it 2022, is it?
Yeah.
You know? They're going to have problems. They're going to have problems playing in the summer. They've got, I'm all for a winter break. I've had enough of this now. I need a winter break. Okay.
Well, you need a winter break.
I need a winter break. I'm telling you, I'd love to get away. Saint, you're always away. Sometimes,
No, I golfing holiday.
Yeah, you like to get away, don't
That's
you?
His nickname was Alan Wicker.
But you're saying that we should close the league down for
two weeks?
Yeah. 3 weeks?
Two weeks. Yeah.
2 weeks.
I think German football has benefited from closing down. Okay, they closed it down, I think, for 3 weeks, from January 1st of January all the way through to till the end of January. And I think we've got the FA Cup. That's when the FA Cup starts.
Yeah.
We're still playing a lot of games, but I think we need a bit of a winter break. I think that would be beneficial to the football team. Listen,
would they be forced to not play in them 2 weeks?
Because,
what you find now is that, it's so lucrative to go...
Yeah,
to
the desert,
to
Qatar,
Australia, anywhere, and play, and they earn millions.
Yeah,
so you wouldn't want them to do that if they're getting a 2 week winter break.
No, it has to be a break.
It has to be a
proper break.
So nobody allowed to play. no friendly matches.
I think a friendly match would be. Okay.
But players are still playing.
It's not a break. Then,
it's not
is
a break.
It?
Yeah,
if you're saying it's a break, you're training and you're right at the peak of your fitness December, as you say, whatever. Have you seen January?
Yeah.
You're right at the peak. So you're going to stop. Have 3 weeks where you'd have, 3 weeks complete break?
You'd still have to train.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about.
Would you have
2 weeks complete break and then start training again?
I don't think you can do that as such in your
country. How do the Germans do it then? Do they?
I don't know. I don't know how they do it, but I would suggest that they train maybe a couple of times, three times a week.
Yeah, not as much.
And it's all
they need to train.
Yeah, that's right. But they have it in a warm country. They can relax. They can chill out. If you've got a couple of knocks or a couple of, it just gives you a chance for your body, and then
charge the battery.
Charge the batteries. Yeah.
But clubs won't do that because someone will say, come and play here, over in the Emirates, and we'll pay you X amount, and they take the players away, and they'll say to the players, well, it's only a friendly now. You're playing Bayern Munich, but it's only a friendly,
Yeah,
now, it's still a big game.
We don't want to go on there and lose the game.
Yeah.
And
friendly or no friendly, they're the same. So you end up...
And risk injuries,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, you don't want to do that. Arrest should be arrest. No football between that period and that period. I would say, fine.
Yeah.
Start the season maybe a week earlier or 2 weeks earlier to compensate for that.
Yeah. But there are so many competitions. Every year there is a competition, whether it's England World Cup, whether it's European Championships, whether it's other competitions, and it starts. You know, it's less and less. We used to have, remember when we played, it was 2 months you had off, didn't you?
You had all June, part of July.
Yeah. It was, and you were refreshed, ready for the season, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, these lads in the World Cup, they're going to play,
they're finishing mid-July.
And some will be in the FA Cup final as well, so it'll be a week later.
Yeah.
And then you've got to get together, you've got to prepare for the World Cup.
Yeah.
So, but there'd be no break at all by the time the World Cup's over and they come back. Very little time.
But even in the competitions, even in the prelim competitions of the European Cup, Champions League, the Europa League, they start in July. These are the fifth in the league, you've got to do a tournament. You know, you've got to start playing your football again.
I'll tell you, Carly, thinking back now again, 50 years, and so on this subject of, you know, playing too many games and playing in the summer and not resting, whatever. We won the league in 1964, right? Exactly 50 years ago. We won the league. And where did we go? We went to America.
And Canada.
Yeah. And played and waited for 6 weeks. And 10 games. 6 weeks?
Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that's like another huge tournament, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We were travelling
all over Canada, America, you name it.
Yeah.
10 games.
Yeah.
On the back of a big long season, we finished as champions.
Yeah.
I mean, the games were no strenuous, we're not saying they were.
Yeah.
But we were still
games
playing,
and travelling.
Still games and travelling. And we came back, and you know what happened? We had a terrible start to the season.
Yeah.
And only recovered and won the cup at the end, and then we won the league the following year.
Yeah.
But we would have, I think, in my own opinion, we would have won the league again.
After
64, we'd have won in 65 and 60. We'd have won, but we were shattered.
Yeah.
We'd no holidays.
Yeah.
We'd come back, and it was pre season training.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
And I've thought about that many times. I thought that was crazy. It was a great holiday, and we all loved it and everything else. But it was crazy.
Did they do it for sort of money in those days?
The club had been
money out of it. Or
remember, Bob Paisley used to tell us about when they went to America. His team in the 50s, they'd gone to America, and it was a great trip and everything else. You know, this was ahead of our time, so we were all going, oh, it'd be great, and we'd say, we're going to America, great, because it was a big thing going to America,
big thing.
And off we went, and had 6 weeks. And really and truly, when you think about it, you know, most of us, I would say, were all desperate to get back home. It was just 6 weeks was a hell of a time, and 10 games, 10 games. So we got back. I went up for a holiday, took my kids, my wife and I, up to Morecambe, to a caravan.
Downtown Morecambe?
To a caravan in Morecambe for a week. And that was, and then we were training the following week, pre-season training.
Yeah.
So that was it. And it cost us. We started, if you look at the records, we started so badly the following year, losing games that, you know, we should never have lost.
Down to being a bit sort of tired.
We only recovered after the new year, and then we in the cup run, and we went through and won the cup. But seriously, we would have, I think, retained the league that year only.
But as you were saying, Al, you know, the breaks in them days.
Yeah.
I mean, we were away for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So you'd finish like the end of the season, and I remember when I first signed professional. And I was serving my time as a central heating engineer. And when I signed pro, I think we had about sort of 8-10 weeks off. And I got so fed up, I went back to work.
Yeah.
I really did. I went down to the company I used to work for. I said, is there any chance of getting a part-time job? I was fed up. And I went, I got a part-time job.
Yeah. Hey, I want to go back to Morecambe. you are Scottish, aren't you? You're tight, aren't you?
You could afford.
To
pay with dollars.
Why don't you do what Cali did? Get a part-time job, go back to it. Blow me neck, we'd have more money.
We gradually improved as years went on, and we ended up going to Mallorca.
Welcome to Mallorca. Well done, mate. Well done.
We're coming to the not only the end of this podcast, but coming up to the end of the season. only a few home games left. This one at the weekend against Tottenham. For me, this is one. They don't look a particularly good team, and yet the last game that they played, they looked as if they were, you know, starting to get it together. All the new players that they've signed over the year starting to get their act together. Where do you see it, Al?
Yeah, the thing is, you know, they played against Benfica in the cup, and Benfica were a good team, home team.
Yeah, a good team.
And yet, Tottenham found themselves 2-1 up with a few minutes to go. And they could have actually won the game, but that still wouldn't have taken them through. They needed a 3-1. For me, Ian, they're a decent team. They're a decent team on the day. But their day sometimes doesn't come. They sometimes, like, stutter. And, you know, I think they've got a defensive problem, me. But going forward, they're very, very good. But I just feel as though that if Liverpool get at them, start off really well, I think they could take them. But I'm always wary that they're good on the counter-attack. They've got some decent players. You know, they've got Adebayor, who's like in form. Like, you know, they've got some decent players.
Townsend with pace.
But on the right-hand side, Lennon, and you've got in the midfield, you know, they've got some really good players. And Tim Sherwood, again, he doesn't know how his team's going to play. He really doesn't, because like at one stage they look top class, next minute they look terrible. So again, Liverpool has got to approach the game and say, listen, got to take the game by the scruff of the neck, get into them early on, upset them, score a goal to, and the heads go down, you know. But you know, that's what they've got to do. sounds easy, doesn't it? Sounds easy, but
you think we'll win it, Carl?
I do. I just feel as though, you know, I could say, as we mentioned before, there's a confidence there, and you know, as Alan said, Tottenham are in and out like you don't know what. So, when was the last time they won at Anfield? You know, I would imagine it's a long time ago. Long time ago.
It used to be in our day, they could never win. Yeah.
No. How many years they went without you? So I just feel Liverpool are, you know, they're going to score goals, and I just feel as though they'll have too much for Tottenham.
Sometimes, Ian, you just say to yourself, like, you know, listen. I remember looking at Tottenham last season, and look, they're a big side. They're quite a physical side, if you know what I mean. You know, Adebayor, and you've got Dembele in the midfield. You've got Bentaleb, like, you know, they're good players, you know, and they've got some nice players. But I think their weakness is at the back.
At the back, yeah.
You know, if you get at the back four, you know, which we will do.
Well, we will, with Suarez and Sturridge, you know. So I just feel as though, you know, they will sort of get into them, and we're going to score goals.
Yeah.
We are. So, you know, I just feel as though we'd have too much for them. I really do.
Last night's game with Sunderland, do you think the crowd expects now for Liverpool to score 4 and 5 every game?
Well, you know, where people were talking about a top four finish, now people are talking in the city, you know,
without doubt, winning it.
You know, about winning the Premiership. Yeah. So it does, you know, it's pressure.
Yeah.
Really, you know, because you're not going to tell me, you know, the players are not thinking about winning the Premiership. You know, I mean, you know, we said before, it's the old cliche about, you know, taking each game as it comes, which you've got to.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day.
For me, if it's one apiece on Sunday with 10 minutes to go, Brendan should send everybody a forward.
Oh, I've got to go for it.
Because this is the one and only time. I remember Brendan saying, I think last week, about, well, we may do it next year. You know, but it's now. It's a season. The moment. It's taken
maybe,
the moment.
Maybe he was trying to play it down. You think,
maybe,
Alan?
Maybe, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
maybe. You know,
but you take the moment as it is. Listen, you've got a great chance. They might never get this chance again. You know, forget about next season. It's about now. Win every game, each game, and then if you win again, lovely. Back
in
front. You can't do any more. And everybody will be saying, "Well, well done, Liverpool." I think most neutrals now are looking at Liverpool to thinking, we want them to win, rather than the Manchester City.
Well, we haven't won it for so long.
Yes.
You know, we've got fans, teenage fans, early never seen Liverpool win the league.
Yeah,
you know,
never won it since they knocked the boot room down.
Get those bricks back. Yeah. So you know they've got to win it. They've got to win it for everybody, the fans, and I think we've got the team to do it. I've looked at the opposition, the teams that are there, and we're every bit as good as they are.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's including City, who I think on their day they're a very good team. But
very good.
I think, and we've got to play them, and we win with games.
Yeah,
and then we say, right, where do we stand, boys? Because they won't all win their games.
No,
they're going to be dog eat dog as well.
Yes,
it's going to be a great finish, lads. I'm really looking forward to it.
I think it's been an exciting, you know, at this particular stage. This is, you know, there's nobody running away with the league, and I think it's great for football.
I think at the beginning of the season we settled top four. We're now saying we can win it,
quite right.
which is a big step, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, we've turned it all around. We're now a top four team, whereas we thought that maybe at one stage we weren't. Yeah. We were maybe top six, maybe like, you know, with Tottenham. Man United would be in there.
We're as good as any team.
That's
now.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
You know, at this particular moment, I think we're
better.
Sort of better.
The manager.
The teams.
The manager and the players deserve a lot of credit. You know, the players are playing out of their skins. They're playing the best we've seen for a long time. There's a confidence about the team that you know, that it doesn't matter how you win the game, as you said before, just get the job done, win the game, and worry about the next game. You know, that's all you can do.
Well, it's been great for our fans, and in the background here, we have quite a few fans here at the Hilton Hotel who were here. Like, they're Norwegians, and the Norwegian fan club have come in, and they're enjoying the stay, and will probably, I would think, stay till the weekend and see the Tottenham game as well.
They probably haven't been to bed, by the way. You know, they'll have been up all night enjoying the hospitality of Liverpool, and particularly this hotel.
Yeah, it's great. Well, so from a bit of a rowdy Hilton Hotel here in Liverpool, from Ian Callaghan, Alan Kennedy and me in St John, bye for now.
Five Times are on tour again. Fowler, McManaman and McAteer are heading to Dublin and Belfast.
We haven't played in front of a crowd like that for a long while. Obviously, it's on the TV as well.
Yourself, son, I was pre-season Olympiakos, mate.
No, you were there.
Played up front with Suarez, didn't he, in the end?
Couldn't believe, because the kit was that tight.
Doesn't matter, I'm still playing.
Just as quickly skip
over. What do you think, anyway, Vincent? You haven't been in your opinion, what do you think?
I don't have to ask the questions, don't I?
Well, you still have an opinion on what you think Liverpool are like this year. Do you think they're going to win the league and stuff?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
You think they're going to win the league?
And no, I don't know if they're going to win the league. I think they've got a real opportunity to win it.
Well, that's what we've said.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. Is this your taxi?
They're at the Academy in Dublin on May the 8th. 24 hours later, they're at the Limelight in Belfast. Your chance to meet them, tickets selling fast. Also on May the 9th, we hold our end-of-season party in Liverpool. John Barnes, Didi Haman and Roy Evans are your hosts on what could be an historic lead-up to the final game of the season. Ticket details online at 5times.co as the Legends Tour continues.
That's it, you see? Comedy goals you've got there.
I'll set them up.
Bang.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.